I didn't want to resurrect my sister because I loved her. I didn't want one final goodbye, to whisper words left unsaid or clear my conscience of any slights between us. I didn't want to hear her voice say my name, Tempe, one last time. I wanted to soothe the anger that scorched through me, an anger that had a life of its own, taking hold within me, propelling me to action. Even on the days when I was exhausted from the early morning dive, even when I'd had enough of this scrappy life. I wanted to drown memories of her long dark hair, curling in the water as she dove deeper ahead of me, always knowing where to search next. I wanted to extinguish memories of her dancer limbs twirling above her head as storms raged nearby. I wanted to forget her now silenced, bell-like voice once and for all. As much as the thought of her name angered me, the thought of never hearing it again angered me even more. Her name had begun to fade in the 2 years since her death, like the last rumble of thunder in a storm. In the beginning, friends, all Elise's, would say, "Your sister," as if saying her name would send a fresh wave of tears down my already flushed cheeks. Then, as days turned into weeks, her name was said soft and tentative, signaling to me that it was time to start moving on, to get out of bed, to live my life. When weeks turned into months, people stopped speaking about her altogether, as though she never existed. Then I'd heard something that changed how I felt about her, transforming my grief to anger. So now I needed to hear her voice one last time. I needed the truth. And for that, I needed to resurrect her. Neither of us could rest until then. The boat shifted with the waves. I adjusted my footing so I didn't fall into the sea. The sunrise had been my parents' transportation to work, small but swift. The shell-colored deck was triangular with two wings underneath the stern of the boat, which hooked down and into the water to keep balance at high speeds. A cramped cabin was suspended below, its belly dipping into the sea like an overfed famel fish. I gazed at the deep blue waters. From above, you could see a slight turbulence beneath, a hint of something other than sand, salt, and sea. A sunken city, one that I had scavenged for years and from which I had never returned empty-handed. My deeply tanned olive skin spoke of the years I'd spent on and under the water, searching for scraps. Today would be my last dive here. Elise had found this site when I was 12 years old, and after 5 years, I knew every twist and turn of the labyrinth of steel, glass, and stone. There was only one room left untouched, and I wasn't leaving until I explored it. After that, I would need to find a new dive site and hope it hadn't already been ravaged like so many sunken cities in this section of the sea. I tightened the straps of my flippers, made from blunted blades of old-world knives. The rusty, thin metal sheets shrieked as I flexed my foot to test the movement. "Oh, shut up," I said. The flippers were my mother's, and I couldn't afford new ones. I wouldn't waste notes on anything other than reviving my sister or topping off my breather. "One last dive," I thought, as I put the breathing tube in my mouth and pulled the pliable, transparent dome over my head. As I clipped it onto the neck of my diving skin, the dome inflated. One final goodbye. Another memory to shelve, another link to Elise forever severed. The thought should have brought a wave of sadness, but I felt only cold, steely determination. Soon, I too could forget Elise's name. I took a shallow breath to check the gas levels of the small cylinder attached to my belt. My breather beeped twice. Oxygen low. I yanked the dome off and spat out my breather. Aside from food, diving gas was the most expensive commodity. It allowed us to search for relics from the old world, for anything useful in the new one. My dive finds barely covered the costs of living on the Equinox Reef, and what was left went toward my sister's resurrection. I was hoping I could unearth something from the remaining room to fund topping off my breather and allow me time to locate a new ruin without having to dip into my savings. I placed the breather back in my mouth and pulled the dome over my face. The levels would have to be enough. I rattled some black stones with iridescent blue spirals in my palm, like miniature swirling galaxies. I dropped one into the ocean, saying a prayer to the gods below to allow me to enter their world, their sacred sanctuary, and survive it. It was a childish habit. When Elise and I were young, we'd thought it was the will of the gods below who took souls from boats in a storm and the air from the lungs of divers. We didn't realize it was simply chance, bad luck, or unskilled diving. The perils of our world. Together, we'd learned to conquer the ocean, or so I'd thought, until Elise had drowned almost exactly 2 years ago. Before I allowed any further doubt to muddy my mind, I grabbed my oilskin bag, clipped it to my diving belt, and tilted backward off the boat. The water was cold, but only my fingertips were cool, the rest of my body protected by my diving skin, a material made of thin, rubbery blue plates stitched together like fish scales, which I always wore under my clothes. I kicked my weighted metal flippers, which coaxed me downward. "Take shallow, steady breaths." I couldn't help but hear my sister's voice in my head. She'd taught me how to dive, after all. "The free fall is easy," she would say. "Save your air for the return trip, when you'll need it. Just follow me into the dark, Tempe." She never called me by my full name, Tempest, saying it was too harsh for her little sister. "Tempe sounds sweeter," she'd said. I could barely remember the little girl I'd once been. A plume of bright light shone from the corner of my eye, my map to the world below. I kicked toward it as I fell. Before long, my vision was illuminated by shades of blue, purple, and pink dotted along shafts of rusted metal. Since the great waves around 500 years ago, bioluminescent coral had grown along the city ruins, lighting the way toward the ocean floor like old world lights on cobbled streets or the stars in the night sky. A sunken constellation. The sight never failed to take my breath away. And even though the building was long dead, it glowed with life. It was beautiful. I followed the path downward.